Okay, so our Hebrew sermon series is completed, and I enjoyed going through that book with you. I hope you felt the same way. Now, though I'm not going to be specifically going through the Hebrews book today, I do, however, want to pick up where I left off to some extent last Sunday in the theme we were on. Last Sunday, I summarized the book of Hebrews for you as the completion of our sermon series, and I asserted to you there that Hebrews has answers to some of humanity's biggest questions, questions like, is there a God out there? And if there is there a way for me to know Him and what He wants from me? And our conclusion last week was, yeah, there is a way to know God and to learn about Him and what He wants from us. In fact, God has been communicating to humanity for centuries. And so we said last Sunday, yeah, there is a way to know God and learn about Him. Look at Jesus, study the Bible. So one of the big questions in humanity, is there a God out there? Can I know Him? And we said the answer is yes. Today I want us to think about another big question that people have about God. It's a similar question, but different. It's a question that we even ask within the church, even after we have become convinced of Jesus. In fact, it's one of the things that you asked in the all-church survey we did here about a year and a half ago, when I prompted you to write down questions that you might like to hear a sermon on someday. At least one of you wrote on that survey, how can I hear God? How can I hear God? So this kind of takes our big question from last week, the next step. Is there a God out there? Can I know Him? Yeah, we've decided yes, there is, and I believe that He's revealed Himself in the Bible and through Jesus. Well then, how can I hear that God? How can I hear from that God? And I think I'll expand that question just a bit to include the phrase, which I think is part of what we're asking here, how can I experience God? So this is going to be our task for this morning, to look for some answers to these questions. How can I hear God? How can I experience God? As always, our search for answers about regarding questions about God comes from looking into the Bible, which we, at least most of us here, I believe, have already made a decision on. The decision we talked about last week, that the real God does reveal Himself through this book. So believing that already, we then look for answers to our new question today about how to experience and hear from God by looking into Scripture. Well, perhaps a good place for us to start would be looking at the kinds of things the Bible says that we should be hearing or experiencing if we are, in fact, hearing from or experiencing God. What does the Bible say on this? Well, here are some of the things that I see the Bible teaching that we might experience when we get into a saving relationship with God through Jesus. The Bible tells us that when we get into this relationship with God, that we will experience, we will feel freedom and life. John chapter 8, Jesus is recorded as saying that if you become one of my true followers, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? Well, the discussion Jesus is having there in John 8 indicates that this is freedom from sin that he's talking about. The Bible tells us that Jesus offers freedom from the spiritual consequences of sin, freedom from guilt over our past sins, even a growing freedom from continuing to commit sin in the future. Not perfection in that area, but a growing ability to be free from committing sins as we mature in Him. And freedom from sin is no small thing. This, in fact, is of eternal consequence. If you come to God through Jesus Christ, you should feel freedom. And you should feel life. John chapter 4, Jesus tells a Samaritan woman that he met at a well that if a person would follow him, they would experience within them living water welling up to eternal life. metaphorical, but it indicates to us there that followers of Jesus will feel life within them, growing within them. Again, over in John chapter 8, Jesus said this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So this is that capital L life that I'm always talking about here, the kind of life God intended for us from the beginning. He is the life giver, and when we attach ourselves to him, we should more and more begin to feel capital L life within us. So the Bible teaches that those who come to Jesus should have these experiences. They will experience freedom and life. Praise the Lord. There are other things Bible teaches that we might or will experience if we come into a relationship with Christ. Jesus taught that if you stick close to him, like a vine stays attached to its branch, that you will bear fruit. What is that fruit? Well, it's defined for us in Galatians chapter 5, a passage we often return to. Here it is, Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So here is something the Bible says we should be experiencing, at least in some measure, as we enter into and grow in our relationship with God. We should see fruit appearing in our lives in the form of us becoming increasingly more loving, joyful, peaceful, more patient, kind and good, more faithful and gentle. And we should begin to see within ourselves the ability to live and to have greater self-control. These things would be evidence of God at work in our lives. Something we ought to be experiencing at least to some extent if we've gotten into a relationship with God. The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit working within us. We saw last Sunday that the Bible teaches that when we bow the knee to Christ and we make him our Lord and he cleanses us from sin, then God's presence, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside us. Similar to how he dwelt in the most holy place within the tabernacle in Israel, now he comes to live in us. So this would be something else that we ought to experience somehow when we come to God, says the Bible. We ought to have some sort of experience of God's presence being inside of us. What does that look like? Well, the Bible teaches that when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us, he will do these kinds of things. He will guide us into truth. John 16:13, Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." And over in chapter 14, verse 26, he said this, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." So one of the functions of the Holy Spirit within us is to teach us and to guide us into truth. Similarly, the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. John 16:8, "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment," referring to the Holy Spirit there. In addition to those two things, and in addition to helping us produce that fruit that we talked about a moment ago in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit also gives other kinds of gifts that we might see come about in our lives. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11 is the central passage on this, where the Apostle Paul writes about these other gifts that the Holy Spirit might give. I've included some of them here. The Holy Spirit might give to a person a gift of wisdom or a message of knowledge, and this seems to refer to the ability to know something that you couldn't have known otherwise without the Spirit of God telling it to you. So this would fall into the realm of a miraculous thing. The Holy Spirit might give a gift of especially strong faith to certain people, or a gift of being used by God to heal someone. Again, they're talking about a miraculous working of God's. The Holy Spirit may give the gift of prophecy to someone, enabling a person to tell of something that will happen in the future. God can do all things. Holy Spirit may give a gift of speaking in tongues, and we know from elsewhere in Scripture that this could either refer to the ability to speak in a different human language that we didn't know previously, or to speak in a spiritual type language that doesn't make sense to our ears typically. And Paul instructs in that passage that it is God who determines who he will give these gifts to and when, and they are given for the common good, he says. So not everyone gets every gift. The gifts are distributed among the followers of Christ so that we can all participate in helping the church body in the ways in which we have been gifted. Okay, so the Bible teaches we ought to have some sort of experience of this Holy Spirit living within us after we've come into relationship with Jesus, and that could look like the Holy Spirit guiding us into truth, convicting us of sin, helping us to develop the fruit of the Spirit mentioned earlier, and or the Holy Spirit perhaps even giving to us various supernatural type gifts. How else might we experience or hear from God according to the Bible? Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence in him." And there are all kinds of Bible passages that tell us that when we follow God, we ought to experience some sort of blessing in our lives. Blessing could take on many forms. It could be provision. It could be God working in your circumstances to bless you. God might bless you through relationships with people that he brings into your life. Maybe rather than being used by God to work a healing in someone else, you might be the recipient of a miraculous healing. That would be a blessing. God promised to light a path for us and to lead us on a good path if we follow him. And that path, says the Bible, it may not be an easy path, but it'll be the best path for us, and God will walk it with us. So though in this world we may have trouble, as Jesus has told us, the Bible also says that when I follow God, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and love should always be present in some form in our lives as we walk with Jesus, even in the midst of difficult times. We ought to see some form of blessing in our lives if we are following God, says the Bible. Okay, well, most of the things we've looked at so far are experiences that we might have of God. What about hearing God? That was part of our question. How does God speak? Well, it should be said that he can speak to us through any of these experiences we just mentioned. For example, if I suddenly experience an amazing positive change in my life circumstances that I really think only could have come from God, then I'm going to feel like God spoke to me, even though he didn't use a voice, right? So all of these things that we've already talked about could be ways that God speaks to us. But what about his voice? Does God ever use his voice in the more conventional understanding of that word? And if you've read the Bible stories, you know that on occasion, God did speak directly with people. It appears sometimes with an audible voice, though often it was through a messenger of some sort, or through a dream or a vision. So those are some ways that God has used his voice in the past. And then I think we ought to notice that while God does occasionally do very obvious speaking and performing of obvious acts of power, like, for example, in the time of Moses and bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, etc., God often is described in the Bible as working very quietly and behind the scenes. And the classic verse on this is 1 Kings 19, when God tells Elijah that he's going to appear before him. But it says then that God was not in the subsequent powerful wind, or the earthquake that followed that, or the fire that Elijah saw next. Instead, it says God came to Elijah in a gentle whisper. And I think of that image when I read this verse as well from Isaiah 30:21, where it says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" So the Bible teaches that God often speaks to us in a whisper, almost like a spiritual prompting that you cannot hear audibly, but yet is from God. Well, and I think that fits with other things we know about God from elsewhere in Scripture. When Jesus taught a man named Nicodemus about the need to be cleansed from God, from our sins, the need to be born again is what he called it there, or born of the Spirit, Jesus said this to him, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell from where it comes or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So it seems that we should expect some of our experience of this God or our hearing from him to come in very quiet ways, in perhaps invisible and inaudible ways. This is how God often chooses to work, it appears, from looking into the Bible. And you might even just think of how Jesus came into the world. Talk about under the radar. Here's the Son of God, born with almost no fanfare, into an animal stable, with almost no one knowing about it. And then he grew to minister to people as an adult without palace or frills or wealth or military power, humble, quiet. We can go a step further on that. We've pointed out here in the past that there were hundreds of years that went by before God saved the Israelites out of Egypt and their slavery there. God did come to save them, but it took a long time before that came about. And you wonder how many of the Israelites living during that long period of time wondered if God was there. It took even longer for the predictions of the Messiah to come true. But come true they did. So it's clear from the biblical witness that God often does not work in the timetable that we want him to. At times he seems to disappear, but he does act when the time is right. And so this combination of God's tendency to, from the human perspective, disappear for a while, and his tendency to work silently, often led many people in the Bible to doubt and question whether or not God really was at work, or if he was even there. You can think about even John the Baptist, the man hand-selected to introduce the world to Jesus. After initially being very sure of Jesus, later on, when Jesus wasn't acting in the more dramatic ways John had expected of him, John sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him this, "So are you the one to come, or should we expect someone else?" Even John the Baptist had moments of doubt. So when we are trying to figure out how we might hear or experience God, we ought to note that often the Bible stories describe these times when God works silently, and sometimes from the human perspective, he would seem to disappear for lengthy time periods. And those things occasionally would lead the people in those stories into doubting whether or not God was there. And of course, the Bible tells us that God was there the whole time. And in all of those stories, if you go back and look, he comes through in the end. But people had to be patient, and they had to trust and resist the impulse to doubt. So I think we too then should also expect in our experiences of the biblical God to occasionally wonder if he's there. But we should also remember that instruction from the Bible to hold on and be patient and trust that God will show his hand again. Okay, our first section of our sermon here has focused in on taking a look at what the Bible says about how people seeking to follow God might experience him or hear from him. And this information should help us to know what to look for in our quest to experience God. So it'll be worth reviewing the list we've just come up with again here now. Okay? The Bible teaches that those who follow God should expect to experience him in some or all of these ways. We will experience freedom and life. We should, over time, see fruit in our lives, increasing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, etc. We ought to have some sort of experience of God's presence within us, the Holy Spirit, which may take place in one or more of these ways. Experiences of being internally guided into truth. Experiences of being internally convicted of sin. The working out of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned above. The receiving of some other type of gift from the Holy Spirit, perhaps even a supernatural one. We ought to experience, according to the Bible, some sort of blessing in our lives, either through provision or godly arranged circumstances or relationships or a healing. We ought to always have a degree of goodness and love present in our lives, even in the midst of difficult times. God followers might hear God speak through any of those above circumstance experiences, or through an audible voice, maybe, or through a messenger, or a dream, or a vision, or through a whisper that may come in the form of an inaudible spiritual prompting or word. And finally, we may often experience God as communicating in inaudible and invisible ways, and he may even seemingly disappear at times. This might lead us to doubt that he's there, but the biblical witness is that God is always there and that he will show his hand at the right time. Well, we need to look into the Bible for one additional thing before we try to draw some conclusions from this material for our lives. Okay, so we've just finished looking at ways in which we might experience or hear from God, according to the Bible. We should also, though, I think, be asking what the Bible says about how we can put ourselves into the position of being able to hear and experience God in these ways. Are there things, according to the Scriptures, that we need to be doing in order to have these types of experiences just mentioned? And the answer is yes. There are some things to draw from the Bible on this. This will be the flip side of your fill-in-the-blank form there. A while back, not too long ago, we spoke in a sermon about how God does not want to force himself on us. He wants us to freely choose him. And, you know, this idea that he doesn't want an arranged marriage. He wants one that is meaningful, that we freely choose. And as part of God's effort to make sure that he's not forcing himself upon us, God asks us to seek him. He wants to be found, but he asks us to search for him. Bible verses on this include Matthew 6:33, where he just comes out and says, you know, seek him. And then there is the one that's been on our sign here for the last 4 weeks, Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There was also this parable from Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had so he could buy that field. So if you want to experience God, friends, the Bible says you must seek him. You must pursue him and do so, it said, with all of your heart. And then he will be found by you. Notice also that God asks for us to make him top priority in our lives. Fits with that theme, above all other things. And again, Matthew 6:33, where Jesus asked us to seek him in his kingdom. Here's the actual phrasing. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Seeking God should be top priority in our lives. Well, we're asked to love the Lord our God with all our heart, aren't we? And all our soul and all our mind. It's the greatest commandment, said Christ. Jesus at one point said we're to love God so much that in comparison, it would almost look like we hate our family. One of Jesus' moments of overstatement to make sure we catch the point. And the point, of course, is that we're to put God first, even over our own families. Just earlier this morning, we referenced the comparison Jesus made to help us understand just how closely God wants us to follow him. Jesus compared this relationship to a branch attached to the vine, right? A living connection there with the life-giving substance coming through from the mother vine into the branch. And Jesus said there, remain in me, remain in me. How do we remain in him? How do we stay attached to the vine? I think this is where those life disciplines that we often talk about here come into play. We need to pray regularly in order to remain in Jesus. We need to talk to God and to take time to listen for him. Prayer was a very high priority in Jesus' life. He regularly took time for it, and he is our model in this. We're to pray regularly. We are to study the Bible regularly. And really, this should be its own separate point on how to hear God. God guided the human beings that he worked through to write the scriptures. This is one of the most central ways in which God has spoken to us, through these writings. So if you want to hear God speak, read the Bible. If you want to remain in him, read the Bible. Bible says we can fast, we can go without food and add in some extra prayer on your fasting day. We can do that if we are seeking to communicate with God and be connected closely with him. Our Hebrews series talked about the value of being significantly involved in our church. I think this is part of remaining in God as well. Committing to worshiping God here every Sunday morning, listening to the sermons, etc. These things can be part of our strategy to remain in him. So if we want to hear from God and experience him, Jesus taught us to remain in him like a branch is attached to the vine. Here's a good Bible verse for us. John 8:31-32, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." A call to obedience there, right? Stands to reason that if we're continuing to live for ourselves and routinely choosing sin over God, we probably shouldn't be expecting him to be speaking to us a whole lot. But Jesus indicates in that verse there that we will experience God when we make a decision to obey. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways, submit to him, and then God will make your path straight. Can't do it perfectly, but effort needs to be made. If we want to hear from God, we need to make efforts to obey him. The other part of that Proverbs passage there, verse 5, says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And this is another element of putting ourselves in position to hear from God. God wants us to trust him, to have faith in him, to not lean on our own understanding, but to trust. Even in those times that I mentioned earlier where God might go silent for a while, the Bible says, trust. There's encouragement in Scripture to remember God's past actions in your life. That's been preached on here regularly and not just by me from this pulpit. Don't forget the ways in which God has shown up in your past when you're going through a dry spell. And I would add on there also, when you're going through those times where you're not feeling God at work, you can remember all the evidence we have for a creator, design, function, beauty in the world. Remember the evidence, the good evidence for the truth of the Bible. And we can remember Jesus himself, how good he is, and just keep our eyes fixed on him. We can lean on all of those things to get us through the silent times, help us keep our trust in God. Trust. Obey. And it's amazing how often when I'm writing sermons, this song comes back to my head. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Two key things there, right? Okay, so how are we to put ourselves in position to be able to hear and experience God? The Bible says do these things. Seek him with all your heart. Make God top priority in your life. Remain in him like a branch remains attached to its vine. Pray regularly. Study the Bible regularly, remembering that the Bible is one of the primary ways for us to hear the voice of God. Fast. Be significantly involved in your church. We're to make strong efforts to obey God, and we are to trust in God and remember his past actions in our lives during the dry times. Our purpose today has been to discover how to hear from God, how to experience him. And we've seen now the explanations in the Bible of the kinds of ways that God can be experienced. And we've seen now the explanations in the Bible on the kinds of things we can do to put ourselves in position to be able to experience him. Let's now apply these things. I wonder how this is all squared with your experiences. of God in the past, how this stuff has hit you. Have you, these are rhetorical questions now, but have you experienced moments of feeling freedom from sin and life within you? Since you committed your life to Jesus, have you seen yourself becoming more loving, more joyful, more patient and kind and gentle than you were before? I'm not asking you if you are perfect in those things. I'm asking if you have seen development in those areas since you came to Jesus. Have you ever had experiences of feeling internally guided into the truth or internally convicted of sin? If so, then the Bible would tell you that the Holy Spirit has been active in you and you've experienced some of God. Have you ever had experiences with some of the supernatural things that are mentioned in the Bible as an amazing thing come about in your life through a gift of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever received provision that you really felt came from God? Or a change in your circumstances that only could have come from Him? When you look back over time, the time that you followed Jesus in your life, can you say that there has always been goodness and love that has been a part of your life, even in the middle of difficult things? Have you ever heard God speak audibly or through a messenger, a word coming through a person, or through a dream or a vision? Have you ever heard Him speak through a whisper that came in the form of an inaudible spiritual prompting or word, a gentle whisper telling you the way to go? Have you ever gone through dry spells where the quietness of God and His apparent absence made you question whether or not He was there? If so, then you have experienced God in the way many in the Bible did. But if those people could talk to you today, they would tell you, hang in there, He'll show up again. Trust in Him. Couple more questions. Have you ever read something in the Bible that has clobbered you in the head or in the heart? Or something that has set you on fire in a good way? Have you ever had an intense spiritual or emotional experience while worshiping God or while listening to a sermon? Have you ever felt a warmth and a love come over you during a time of prayer? Again, I'm not asking you if you always feel that way when you pray or when you worship or when you read the Bible. I'm asking you if you have ever felt that way. And if you answer yes to that or to really any of these things I've just asked, then I would say you have experienced God in your life. You have heard from Him. You're going to have the opportunity in your small groups this week to answer those questions for each other. For illustrative purposes, though, I thought I would just tell you how I might answer those questions. You know, I often wish that God would be more obvious in my life and in my prayer times. But even though that's true, I would answer yes to almost all of those questions there. Yeah, I have felt capital L life coursing through me as I've grown in my walk with God. And I have felt that freedom from sin, that amazing grace He gives to us. I believe that God has and continues to make me more loving, joyful, patient, kind, gentle than I was before, and I still have a ways to go. I've also seen dramatic life change in other people too after they came to follow God. I would say yes, I have felt internally guided into truth and internally convicted of sin. It has not felt to me like another being in my head. But yes, I have felt internally guided into truth and convicted of sin. I'd say yes to those questions. I've never spoken in tongues or been given a prophetic word. But Rosie Steffen tells me that when Roxy Harlow and I went to pray over her for healing last winter, that she felt something inside her, and from that moment forward, her colitis was gone. I believe the Holy Spirit did that in answer to our prayer. And I've heard other stories of healings that I believe to be credible. I've heard some stories I don't believe as well, but I've heard some that I think are genuine, and Krista Rinkins comes to mind, her report of what she experienced in Nepal when she was here telling us about that, among other things. I have had someone speak to me a word they believed the Lord had given to them for me, and it was about something that I had been praying to God a lot about in the days prior to that conversation, and something that really that person couldn't have known. I would say a big yes to the question of whether or not I've seen God showing up in circumstance changes in my life, in provision and through relationships. Absolutely, I have experienced that. And I think here also of the testimonies from the Ramos and the Bacons just a couple weeks ago about the provision they received when they had made a shift to putting God, making God first in their financial lives. I have never heard God's audible voice. But I have heard a small handful of times an inaudible whisper that did not feel like it came from me. And some of the messages of those whispers were backed up by events soon to follow in my life. In addition, I would say that I have very often come away from prayer with a new idea about how to handle a difficult circumstance that I'm facing, or I've come away with a peace that I didn't have going into that prayer. Now, none of that involved a whisper that felt like it didn't come from me, but nonetheless, I prayed and I came away with a new direction and new peace. I think that's God working in me. Have I ever gone through times where God did not seem to be present and I have doubted him? Absolutely yes. But God has shown up in my past, and often I have seen him after those dry periods show up again. And of course, you know, have I ever at times been blown away by something I've read in the Bible or by a deep experience I had during worship? Have I ever felt especially close to God in prayer? Yes, yes, and yes. So even though I do routinely wish that God was more obvious to me than he is, and though I often get a little frustrated in my prayer times wishing that he would speak back to me more, I can look at my answers to all of those questions I just gave to you and say, unequivocally, I have experienced and heard from God in my life. Praise the Lord. And I hope that when you consider those questions and think about past experiences you've had, that you also walk away knowing that God has been involved and active in your life as well. Okay, well, what if the answer is no for you to those questions? Well, I'm not sure what else to do but to bring you back to that list of things that the Bible says we need to be doing in our lives in order to be in the position of experiencing God. And actually, I should mention one thing that is not on the list. If you have not yet made Jesus the Lord of your life and surrendered to him, then you likely should not expect to have heard much from him in the past other than a call or a tug on your heart to come to him and make it right. You need to take that step first. And if you would like to come talk to me about that or one of the elders here about taking that step, please do so. We would love to talk to you about that. But once you have taken that step, then I think it's about this list that we've just looked at. Are you doing these things? Are you seeking him? Are you doing so with all your heart? Are you attempting to make God first priority in your life? Are you praying regularly? Are you studying the Bible regularly, remembering that the Bible is one of the primary ways for us to hear the voice of God? Have you tried fasting? Are you significantly involved in your church? Are you making strong efforts to obey him and stay away from sin? If you're doing most of those things and you still feel as though you aren't hearing from God, is it possible that you are just in one of those times where the Lord is working quietly and what you need to do now is trust in him and wait on him to show himself to you again? The Bible says he will, so wait on him and be faithful. So yeah, in summary, if you're not hearing from him, experiencing these things, or you know what, if you're simply just wanting more of him, I would say hold on to that list and dive even deeper into those things. So the big question from humanity that we looked at last Sunday was, is there a God out there? Can I know him? And our answer was yes. Look at Jesus, study him, study the Bible. The big question human beings ask that we have just finished looking at today is, how can I hear God and experience him? I hope that the matters that we've discussed just now have helped you in your own wrestling with that question, And I hope that they will be of assistance to you as you move forward in your faith walk with God. May the loving and holy God be very present and active in all of our lives here at Calvary Baptist Church. Amen.